Hey guys, welcome to the TechPoint Africa podcast. My name is Emmanuel.
I'm Oluwani Femi.
I'm Chimgozlu.
I'm Bolu.
And I'm Ogene Romo.
Yeah, so how are we doing? How was our weekend? So I hope we had fun.
I can't say I had fun.
Oh, what happened?
I went shopping.
Okay, I thought you were shopping. Just eating anyhow.
No, I wish I can.
I spent the entire weekend watching K-dramas.
Oh.
Ew.
What's ew? It's elite. That's for people who have this. Please.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you.
Okay, so in the midst of the whole Wala in Nigeria, you guys are watching.
Of course. I mean, our president is on vacation. Why wouldn't I be on vacation as well?
Mm. Oh, okay, point.
But you know why all this is going on? Nigerian telcos have disconnected millions of people.
True.
Yes. On the Meafa.
Yeah, so in April 4th, the NCC told, that is the Nigerian Communication Commission, told all the telcos to deactivate people that have not connected their names. So they did that. As at that point, they disconnected 72 million subscribers.
72 million.
Yep.
Okay.
We thought that day was never going to come.
I was one of the people with coconut heads that did not connect. Yes.
Nigerians don't do things until it's the last minute.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying I'm in Nigeria? Okay, I'm Nigerian.
Are you not in Nigeria? Well, so MTN alone had 19 million subscribers of that 72 million. Mm. And so they released their financial report recently. That was, I think, April 29th. And in the report, they said that they had reconnected, of that 19 million, they had reconnected 1.2 million. But out of the 19 million, 8.7 million people actually sent their names. So basically, the problem now is people are sending in their names to be reconnected, but they can't reconnect them.
What's the issue exactly?
The issue is NIMC's portal is...
What's NIMC?
NIMC is the National Identity Management Commission. So NIMC's portal is down. Not necessarily down, but it's having issues reconnecting, or should I say verifying, the number of people that need to be verified.
But why did it take them this long to admit that? Because when there was a rush for people to reconnect their SIMs in that first week, when people were disconnected, even those that have linked their NIN identification number with their SIM were still deactivated on the basis of that they were not verified.
Verification issues.
So they were not admitting. I spoke with one of their staff then. They were not admitting it was an error on their end. They just said these numbers were not verified. Why should I verify my number when I've linked it to my SIM already?
Well,
from all indications, I think the issue is coming from NIMC. There's no way they can excuse any of this. I mean,
yes, so why should Nigerians suffer for that?
It's actually not the first time their portal is down, because I think it happened last year when people were trying to renew and get new passports.
This year too.
Yes, so the portal was down. Funny enough, NIMC actually released an official statement saying that this was between them and the Nigerian Immigration Service. So they told the Nigerian Immigration Service to find alternative channels to verify.
And I'm what is that alternative?
Go sort yourself out.
What alternative channels do you want?
You should connect
to
Federal
use?
Safety Commission website and your driver's license.
How do you want me to connect to an alternative channel? You are the central body in quotes, so why am I using
to manage identity
alternative channels? It doesn't make any sense to me yet.
It doesn't. Now, when they tell them to make use of quality Nigerian talent, software engineers, like, we are churning out talent to the rest of the world, and you can't use them for this. These are basic stuff.
If you hire quality talent, will you owe them? They will carry your source code and wake up one morning, you can't even log into your email.
Wow. Are you talking from experience?
Not from experience, but you know, it's something that happens.
I don't understand what's wrong with NIMC's website. I mean, they are using a standard tech stack, PHP, and let's not even go that way. But in the midst of all this, right, the telcos were hearing that they want to increase their tariffs. What's going on there, Ifemi?
So a letter got to the press, right?
How?
And Well, somebody leaked it. Somebody leaked it to the press. So it was a letter between Altin, that's Association of Licensed Telecommunication Operators of Nigeria, like an umbrella body for all telcos operating in Nigeria. So they wrote to their licensee, which is NCC, that is Nigerian Communications Commission, that with the things that are going on, because even if you've gone to the market recently as a Nigerian, somebody would have told you that the price of what you want to buy has increased because the price of diesel has increased, right? And everybody is feeling it. Everybody. TechPoint is feeling it. I can tell you that. We are all feeling it. Yes. Everybody is feeling it. So, Altin is feeling it. And so they reached out to NCC. And what do we do about this? Our staff also are in this system, right? And they have to pay for all these things that have been inflated. Then they were surprised when the letter got out to the press.
You shocked them.
It's not supposed to be a conversation with the people.
With superheroes.
People are not, users are not supposed to know about this planned increase, this 40% increase, which means that if you were sending SMS for 4 naira before, it will increase to like 5.6 naira, right, per SMS. It looks small, but on the cumulative, is something that is big. You get, but it's not supposed to get out yet. It's supposed to be a conversation between SEC and Altin, and they were supposed to reach a consensus on what information to get out to the press. And yeah, so we spoke to the head of operations for Altin, for the umbrella for telcos in Nigeria, the person of Bolanwa Wunuga, and he explained while this has to be.
The equipment are standard. The equipment we are using in Nigeria is the same we are using all over the world. You know, the process of operation is not different. They said that Nigeria is unique, there is no power. So, it depends purely and solely on diesel. You may say in other clients, they have power. But in our own jurisdiction, Nigeria, we don't have power. So we work solely on diesel 24/7. So when you mention that diesel for you, that is epileptic. So you want it, they take power for like 10 times a day. So we should be continuing to trip off our test time. It doesn't work like that.
I think he raised valid points, and for the first time, I'm feeling for them, for telcos. Like, if they
increase it now. For the first time, seriously, for the first time. They've been dragging these issues since I became very, very familiar with tech.
Yes, I get they've been clamoring for increase in tariff, but now the basis for it now.
Basis.
Yeah.
Everybody can feel it. Yes, so I can feel it when they say they want to increase the tariff now, though it might not be very nice, but at least we'll be able to bear with them. When they increase the tariff because of increasing VAT, I wasn't really happy with it, you get, because, well, I can relate, but I can't relate. But this, I can actually relate, you get. So then, given my own reaction, one would expect that the licensing body, that is NCC, would also like understand what is going on. But it was reported also that NCC reacted to the leaked letter, right? And they were like, no, you cannot increase the tariff, which Awonuga said was not so.
Yeah, no, they didn't say they are against it. They can't be against it. Are NCC isolated from the issue around the country? They have to follow the due process. You know, maybe go through some study. NCC cannot say they are against it.
So it's a reality that is dawning on everyone. So
but NCC could possibly be isolated from. Okay, let's not go there.
We mitigate the cost for them. Yes, we know that this is an argument that's been going on for long.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no part of that conversation. As NCC said, they will mitigate cost for them. All they just do is give the order. So there's no how. I don't know if. I agree with you. NCC can say no. You can't increase the tariff with the reality that everyone can see.
Yeah, yeah, that's quite understandable. But my issue is, even when diesel thing is like resolved on one side, you still have to tackle issues with vandalization. People go to all these base stations and destroy their equipment.
Yeah,
they are taxed on several levels, right? Multiple levels, both official and unofficial. Mm-hmm.
So state government still tax them.
State government. Yes, local government does, and Omanile government does. So, okay. If you are not a Yoruba person, how do you explain Omanile, if any?
Omanile are just they are unlicensed, but they are collecting taxes. That is how I can explain them.
Basically, taxes collecting. Taxes.
Yes, but you can't deny them of the taxes. They are unlicensed, but they are collecting taxes. Mm.
Chingo, you said touts. Don't let pressures here use louts.
Yeah, call louts.
Oh, louts.
Yes.
Oh. Sorry.
I found that in the middle of the pandemic. Yeah. So yeah, that in case you didn't learn anything today, you just louts. Probably learned it now. It's louts, yeah. Not touts.
What did you do?
Yeah. Mm. So yeah, that's an interesting one, and it's shocking, it's surprising, and it's not surprising at the same time. Issues with connectivity, does it reverberates around Africa, and anytime big tech companies are trying to introduce anything, I'm always thinking, okay, how do Africans fit in? How does it affect Africans? So there's a story that Google or YouTube is about to phase out YouTube Go. It's supposedly a product for low-end phones. Does anyone, okay, Bolu Afa?
Don't do that. See, this
year, I think it's iPhone 14 that's coming out next, right? let's leave it there.
Oh, okay.
I believe in Bolu's ministry. Bolu is Sinzu money.
Okay, I should not mention your brand at all. Let's not mention that. Mm. Okay, so but Chingozim, you have something for us about this.
Okay. So if you used low-end devices a few years back, you may have had to use, okay, let's say iTel. So I think it was pre-installed in most iTel phones. So YouTube Go is a stripped down version of YouTube that was like more data conscious. Okay, you could download videos to watch offline based on like the worst quality possible and then watch it, provided you have data every 30 days. Actually, it's still being used, but there are plans to phase it out by August 2022. So at the last count, it had over 500 million downloads, and it was originally built for emerging markets, India, Nigeria, and most parts of Africa, if not all parts of Africa. So the idea is that with it, you could download videos, but unlike the main YouTube app, you couldn't comment, you couldn't post, and you couldn't like interact with the video. So it was just basically you consuming content. Mm. And the idea was, okay, if you can't use the main YouTube app because you have connectivity issues, then you can use this one. So now they're phasing it out, and basically it's because it has served this purpose. Okay. YouTube is saying that they've improved the main app to the point where even with low internet connections or bad internet connection, you can still use the main app. Mm. So from August, you're not going to be able to access YouTube Go if you still have it on your phone. So YouTube is also saying that they want more people to come on the mainstream YouTube. And I don't know, this might be me being cynical, but I just think it's part of a move to increase the ad revenue for YouTube, because ads are not shown on YouTube Go.
Oh, interesting.
Ads are not shown on YouTube Go. It's just videos. So you just download and then watch. So now they have to make sure that they make some more money. And they also say you can create, so that maybe you could probably start a YouTube career or something. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I think recently they are focusing so much on creators, right?
And yes.
And somewhere else, TikTok is also doing something for creators.
Yes.
So,
TikTok is trying to monetize the platform. So if you use TikTok, by the way, I finally set up a TikTok account today.
Oh,
because I am trying to like understand the platform the way it works, because I think that I think TikTok has probably done more for most creators than maybe any platform that I can think of in recent times. So I mean, musicians have had their music go viral. Mm-hmm. And up to this point, it has been really, let's say, difficult for TikTok to monetize it. So you just keep on watching 30-second, 1-minute videos. The moment this one is gone, you're scrolling up, and then you just keep on consuming content. So
yeah, you've been drawn into the rabbit hole, right?
Yeah, so I've been using it without an account, which is funny. So without an account, at some point, I'll just get tired and I'll log off. But I don't know how people who use it regularly feel. But the idea is that they start placing ads with the top 4% of TikTok users. So even though they are bringing ads, it's still not for everybody. I think you have to have about 100,000 followers, which before you can qualify. So the problem now I see here is that short videos are really hard to monetize. Within 30 seconds, where do you want to place an ad?
TikTok videos are getting longer now.
Yeah. I saw that you can also make videos for up to 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if the audio for most users was just you could consume content in very, very short. It's as short as an ad. Mm-hmm. So you could advertise stuff within 30 seconds and you're done. But now, if I have to watch a 10-minute video, I might as well just stay on YouTube.
I think doesn't YouTube have short ads?
There's also YouTube Shorts, which YouTube is using to compete with these guys. So you see, you have a main YouTube channel and then you like cut snippets of your content and then you put it on YouTube Shorts. So
bring them to the main channel.
Yeah, to bring them to your main channel. So it's perfect for ads. But I don't know how TikTok can successfully monetize that.
So, you know the way creators creatively orchestrated these days, right? Mm-hmm. That 30 seconds video itself would be an ad. But you probably won't notice outright. So, I don't know if you've watched some of these skit makers like Mr. Macaroni or Taoma. An entire skit video is essentially an ad trying to promote a brand, but they weave a storyline around whatever they're trying to do that short period of time. So maybe in 30 seconds, you can maybe, let's say rant like La Sisi, 30 seconds, and talk about people that don't chew pomo very well. Then use it to advertise one of these toothpaste guys that treat people with sensitive teeth.
So the thing is, this is more for TikTok.
Yes.
Than the creators. Because creators have been complaining that compared to YouTube, they don't make as much money.
Okay.
So someone had like over 100 million views and he was making less than $15,000.
Okay.
On YouTube, you're probably going to make close to $100,000 with the same number of views. And now this is not for comparison because obviously YouTube videos are longer, TikTok videos are so short. So let's say creators now increase the length of their content. Mm-hmm. For 5 minutes. Doesn't how do you fit in a 30-minute ad? Now, it's not like it's impossible.
Does it have to be a 30-minute ad? I know both used to do
5, 10, okay.
Both has all those 5-second ads that you play you before YouTube videos and all of that. So
well, they can do like that, but I do not know how, because...
Yeah, I get the issue I get what you're trying to point out, right? But I feel somehow, both on the creator end, right, from external brands, they can make it work. And so what you are saying is TikTok will be introducing internal ads.
Yes,
it was. Maybe you watch the ad before you watch the 30-second clip. For 5 seconds.
Creators will find a way to adapt as long as it's going to bring them ad revenue. As long as they're going to share with TikTok.
Yeah, I think they are actually supposed to share. But then the thing is, I'm looking at it this way. And so creators do not really... So let's say YouTube, for example, they make most of their money outside ad revenues. Ad revenues is like it's not like a significant part. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them make money from either selling their own products or sponsorships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they also do the same thing with TikTok. Because with TikTok, you can just make a very short video advertising your product, link people back to the landing page or something, and then you keep on selling. But now, I just think that there might be pushback from the creators because they are already complaining that from your ad revenues, they're not making as much.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're basically going to cut into the time that their own consumers have to watch. And this is at a time when there's a YouTube Creators Fund, there's a TikTok Creators Fund, and YouTube's fund is significantly larger than TikTok.
So in the whole thing, I'm wondering, because I know YouTube, African YouTubers probably earn less than foreign YouTubers. So Now let's zoom out a bit to this one of the biggest talking points in recent times, right? Elon Musk's plans for Twitter. So how do Africans fit into these plans? That's what is inside my mind now.
Yeah, very important conversation.
So, Bolu, you have some information for us.
Yes, yeah. So, according to the New York Times, there was a pitch deck that Elon Musk presented to Twitter investors. The article came out on Friday, and it detailed some of the ways Elon Musk, you know, actually plans to grow Twitter, grow its user base, grow finances, and... You know, it's Elon Musk, and always you can be sure that he has very high expectations for Twitter. Some of the plans he has have been very
Let's hear it.
Okay. So he plans to increase Twitter revenue to $24.6 billion by 2028. And okay. For context, Twitter made about $5 billion last year, which is the highest since the past 4 years.
Okay.
According to Microtrends, and that's really massive. And he also plans to reduce the amount Twitter makes from ads, like reduce it by 45%, which is very significant.
Then shift it to what?
Yes, he wants the revenue to come from other parts, such as subscriptions, payments, rather than ads.
Mm.
And then you also have to consider that ads made up 90% of Twitter's revenue in 2020.
Okay.
So, doing this...
So, I'm going to pay to use Twitter. Using Twitter in its current free state is usually a chore for me sometimes.
Paying
for Twitter. Okay, let's hear it out.
Okay, so one of the subscription services they have now is Twitter Blue.
Okay.
Which is $2.99 a month, and in Naira that's about 1,241 naira. So Emmanuel, will you be willing to pay 1,241 naira for Twitter
monthly?
Yes.
1,241 naira
for Twitter. Yes. Does to own a Twitter account or what?
Yeah,
I don't need to use my Twitter account if I
No. Let's just say it has more perks than the
Than what you are currently doing. Like what? Did they mention anything?
Well, Twitter Blue for now enables you to edit.
You can edit tweets with Twitter Blue?
Yes.
Okay.
So I don't know the other perks, you know, Twitter Blue has. It has not really caught on that much. But for me, I can see people from other parts of the world, such as the US and more developed countries, paying for this. But I don't really see how Africans, we know the socioeconomic realities we have in Africa. So I don't really see the incentive for Africans to really pay for using Twitter. And that's just not, you know, all of his really elaborate plans for Twitter. He also wants to increase Twitter users by over 900 million by 2028. And currently Twitter has 300 million users.
Mm. Okay, so yeah, I get the whole lofty plans, the whole bringing ad revenue down, increasing subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
But I struggle to see how Africans will really fit in. Netflix at its core, entertainment.
Yes.
We are still dividing passwords between 10, 12
people. Twitter for Africans is actually entertainment.
It's entertainment?
Yeah.
Really? Than Instagram.
The violence that you see there, do you get it any other place?
Man, everybody wants violence.
Man, everybody does it. We are Nigerians. Why is
we have to be honest. Violence is interesting.
It sells. I mean...
They do violence on Instagram, Instablog, and
I beg you, those ones. It's too difficult for you to find the violence. Like Twitter, you go straight to the point.
So, but the problem with Twitter violence is you guys don't tag people with your chests. You will not have to be wondering. Mm,
this person.
Who are you referring to?
You're giving prophecy. Like
no. So, but in its current state, I would rather just be looking at the screenshots on WhatsApp. On my WhatsApp status.
Mm, true.
If you don't follow the violence on Twitter, it will find its way to your WhatsApp.
It will find its way to your WhatsApp status. So
funny enough, it doesn't find its way to mine.
Change your contact or
if I my contacts. Not bad.
So, but another critical point I wanted to point out is, so in recent years, right, Twitter has been this so important platform. Like, yes, the whole violence aside, we've been using it to mobilize for different social movements, right? Bring back our girls, Occupy Nigeria,
Black Lives Matter,
Black Lives Matter. So, answers to those major hashtags that became very, very huge realities in Nigeria and in Africa. I mean, we wrote a story in 2019, hashtags to reality. We're going to link to that in the description. But if Twitter now becomes the exclusive reserve of some people, or some people are able to enjoy Twitter more than others, what does it mean for us Africans in a society where our governments can arbitrarily shut the internet at will, shut social media, shut down everything, that any room for their citizens to come and question them? So what does that mean for that part of African Twitter?
Okay, so I think even with Elon Musk's lofty plans for Twitter, I think the amount of things that are really within his control are still quite limited, especially when it comes to the African side of things. Because he's saying you now have free speech does not mean your government can still not knock down your door at 12 a.m.
That free speech, that how do you even define free speech? But let's continue what you're saying.
Yes, so because he's saying there's free speech now, you know where you are, you know where you live, and you write something on Twitter, Elon Musk is not going to come and save you.
Now that's funny.
It's true.
Of course, it cannot save you.
Yes, he will not come and say no.
I'm getting the US Ukraine vibe.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. You didn't need to go
and
there.
And then you also need to look at it from the other side of the government now. Like what happened last year when Twitter was banned by the Nigerian government, because Twitter took down a particular post that the Nigerian president made. So with what Elon Musk is advocating for right now, that means
that would never have happened.
That won't happen again. If any president of any country says anything on Twitter, it stands.
How sure are you? How sure are you?
By the way, Trump is in court now trying to get back on Twitter.
Because I think people made reference to Trump getting kicked out of Twitter. And people are saying, okay, now that Elon Musk is saying, okay, there'll be free speech, that means what happened then would not have happened. Trump will be free to say whatever he wants to say. Because according to Elon Musk, he said free speech means that people you don't like will say what you don't like. And
you live with it.
Yes, you just have to
chaos
live
with it.
You
everywhere.
Two say your own. Basically,
chaos
that's what it
everywhere.
Means.
Everywhere.
Okay.
Can we just look at the business case for Twitter in Africa? So it's not like...
Is there an existent business case for Twitter in Africa? So
that's the only part that really concerns us.
There's a point that I want to make now. Okay. When there was a Twitter ban, we started seeing a lot of ads on Twitter from other countries.
Because you are using VPN.
Yes. So, but before then, I don't remember seeing ads from Nigeria.
Well, to be fair, you won't see it because for example, I guess you are using, maybe say you are using a VPN and you're connected
started,
to Germany.
Before we started using the VPN, we don't usually
see. Are you
seeing
ads?
No. Okay, you're saying even after the ban, you now started seeing more ads. Is that what you're saying?
So even now that you're seeing more ads, so you could scroll, let's say you scroll through Twitter for like 5 minutes, you probably find like 2 ads. Contrast that with Facebook, where you see ads everywhere. And from what you said, Musk doesn't want ads to be the major revenue source for Twitter. So how does that affect us as Africans? We've already said, can you pay 1,000 naira plus to, and that's like...
That's just me. I'm
yeah, that's
I'm
just
outlier,
you.
Probably.
But I was looking at the numbers, and the country with the highest number of Twitter followers is Egypt.
Yes.
In Africa, with just 5 million people.
In fact, Africans make up just 4.24% of total Twitter users.
Okay, so we shouldn't even be caring about whatever Twitter does with.
I think we should not care because they have to find a way to get more users on Twitter. So there's no Twitter Lite, for example. It's not like Facebook that found a way to maybe compress
it's a stripped down version of the main Facebook app.
So if you don't do that, how do you get more people to use Twitter? And I think, like we just pointed out earlier, Twitter is actually important because it's been at the center of a lot of political movements. It's gotten more prominent when it comes to political circles. But we live in a place where you make all your noise on Twitter, and it's almost like you're wasting your time. NSAS comes to mind. Now we are seeing, this is like election season or getting to election season in Nigeria, and a lot of people are using their platforms to mobilize so-called voters and all. But how does that affect us in Africa? Creators are not even making money off Twitter, for example. So how do you sell a subscription service to me, even though I have the money? I already have a YouTube premium sub. So how many subs?
Basically, you are saying we just wasted our saliva for the past few minutes talking about Twitter.
That's creators are not making money off Twitter.
How much are they? Like, let's compare it to Instagram, for example, or YouTube. Like, YouTube ad revenues are bad for Africans. But
you can't say that they are not completely making money. You can't say that. No, because, okay, there are some that use Twitter, that are like Twitter influencers that use Twitter to make money. They do ads for brands, they do this. They're making money off Twitter. Some of them are just Twitter influencers. They don't even have Instagram and all the other social media. So you can't categorically say that they are not making money off Twitter.
Okay. No, so I'm not saying they're not making money, but like, how many are they?
Okay, we don't have the numbers to actually confirm any of this, right? But the main question is, should Africans really care about Elon Musk and Twitter? Because we are always in the middle of several conversations, right?
Yeah.
So if Elon Musk has a plan to increase users, Africa is probably a place to look at.
Yeah.
Good. So that is that. But the question is, if they are not going to be solely ad-based and want to introduce premium features, will Africans care?
You didn't hear it from our mouth, but
so anyway, thanks for listening. If you're listening up to this point, thanks for listening. And we're about to it's about to start fight. But yeah, that's, let us know what you think, right? If telcos increase their tariffs by 40% or more, are you going to have time for Twitter? Will you be able to afford Twitter? Maybe YouTube says they are more optimized for poor network connections, so maybe you can still manage YouTube. So, but a lot of things are going on, and we'd like to hear what you think. You can tweet at us with the hashtag TechPointAfricaPodcast, or you can email us at techpodcast@techpoint.africa. And if you're listening to us for the first time, or you've been listening to us for the past few episodes, where else can we find this podcast? Where can you listen to the podcast?
Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and anywhere else you get your podcast. So.
All right. Anywhere else you get your podcast. So, yeah. Anything else? Anything else? Did we miss anything else?
Nope.
And on that note, we are joined this.
Come your way, same time.
Same station.
Same station. This week.
This week.
This week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. Bye.